Welcome to Capital Baptist Church, and welcome to our teaching series called Overcome, which is based on the book of 1 John. If you would, take your Bible and turn to 1 John, chapter number 2, 1 John, chapter number 2. And for you that don't know where that book is in the Bible, you go to the end of the Bible. That's called Revelation. It's all the way at the end. And then you just back up, and you got a little book called Jude, and then you got another little book called 3 John, and then you have another little book called 2 John, and then you come to the five chapters of a book called 1 John. And this is a letter that John wrote, an epistle that John wrote. And right now we're in the midst of a verse-by-verse study of the book of 1 John. So welcome, and thank you for being here. Also inside of your program is a study guide of our message for today. I'd like to encourage you to take that out and use it, as today we talk about something very important, and that is the idea of how to overcome hypocrisy. How to overcome hypocrisy. And so we're glad you're here today as we talk about this very, very relevant and very, very important topic of hypocrisy. Well, as we begin, let's begin in our introduction where I write this. God has called His children to overcome. I just want to encourage you this morning that God is for you, and God is pro you. And God wants you to overcome. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what difficulties you're facing in your life. I don't know that, but I do know this about God. I know God wants you to overcome. I know that He wants you to overcome. And we can and should live victorious over the difficulties in this world. Number one, it's important to know we can live victorious. You can live victorious. And then listen, you should. Not only can you should live victorious over the difficulties in this world. 1 John 5, verse 4 says, "For whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world." You see, if you have a relationship with God and you've been born of God, that means you've been born again. You've asked Jesus Christ to be your Savior and your Lord. God's Word says you are hardwired to be an overcomer. You are designed to overcome the world. And this is the victory. This is the victory that has overcome the world. And here it is. Here's the answer. Our faith. Our faith is what helps us to overcome the world and to experience victory in our lives. So the book of 1 John, which we're looking at, is a game plan for victory. It literally is. This book is a game plan for victory. I mean, God in this book tells us what it takes to live victorious. In this series, you will discover how to overcome many difficulties in your life. Now, when you look at this list here, I'm telling you, these are some major, major difficulties we all face in life. And last Sunday, we talked about sin. And now today we're going to talk about hypocrisy. But looking ahead, we're going to deal with things like deception, impurity, division, false teaching, fear, and defeat. I mean, these are some unbelievable things that we face in life. It's amazing to me. You know, this book was one of the last books written in the Bible. And yet you look at it and you say, wow, that was what it was like in the first century. And now look at where we're at today. I mean, it just seems like what? Nothing's really changed, has it? And in fact, things have perhaps gotten a lot worse. So I'm glad you're here today as we talk about this idea of how to overcome hypocrisy. Now, Jesus said a lot about hypocrisy. Jesus talked about being hypocrites a lot. And in 1 John chapter 2, verse 4, we see our key verse. And we're going to be looking at 1 John 2, 3 through 17. But if you did your growth guide, which I hope you did, and the growth guide is something we put together every week to help you to get into God's Word individually and to prepare you for the message and also to prepare you to be part of a growth group. And so I hope you did your growth guide. If you didn't, I hope you'll do it this week, okay? And that's always available in the corner in the lobby. There's a sign there that says small groups right there, their lane. And then you can get it at our website, capitalbaptist.org. Download it 24/7 there. Or the best place to get one is to go to a growth group where they're distributed every single week. But our key verse for this week is 1 John 2, verse number 4. It says, "He who says, 'I know him,' and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him." Let me read that verse again. He who says, "I know him," you know, this person says, "I know Jesus, I know God," but does not keep his commandments, I mean, this person is a liar. Now, John uses the word liar 5 different times. Now, I just want to warn you that this book is not for the weak of heart. I mean, if you're a real sensitive person, you might have a little trouble with 1 John, okay? Because it is very much a direct, in-your-face type of book. And one of the big things about it is it shares with us what it is to be a true Christian, okay? And in this book, there's 66 signs or marks or characteristics of a believer in Jesus Christ. In other words, these things don't make you a Christian. In other words, John's not saying do this and that, do this and do this, and that will make you a Christian. No, he's saying if you are a Christian, if you truly are saved and know the Lord, that this is going to be true of your life. In other words, they're a natural byproduct of having a relationship with Jesus. And here he's talking about, you know, the fact that, you know, if you know him, you say you know him, you say you're a Christian, but you don't keep his commandments, John says, you're a liar. You're a liar. Now, John uses the word 5 times in 1 John, the word liar. Let's read them. 1 John chapter 1 was the first one last week, verse number 10. Says, "If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us." So there he's talking about, he's saying, if you say you haven't sinned, you know, then, you know, the truth is you're a liar, because the Bible says all of us have sinned and come short of God's glory. And then you go to chapter 2 at the end, and verse number 22, chapter 2, verse 22, moving towards the end of the chapter, it says, "Who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist who denies the Father and the Son." So there's talking about, you know, the Antichrist and the spirit of Antichrist. And part of that is those that deny that Jesus Christ indeed is God. And he says they are liars. They are liars. And then you come over to chapter 4, verse 20. Chapter 4, verse number 20. Again, John talks about lying and liars. 1 John 4, verse 20. "If someone says, 'I love God,'" somebody says, "I love God,' and hates his brother, he is a liar." He is a liar, because here's what it says. "He who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen?" And then one final one is in chapter 5, verse 10. Chapter 5, verse 10. "He who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. He who does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed the testimony that God has given of his Son." And so the whole idea there, again, is living a life that's based on truth and living a life that's based on God and his word. So John talks about, okay, you know, there's this disconnect sometimes between what we say. We say we know God, you know. We say we know God, but here's he's saying this: you say you know God, but you don't follow his commandments. And if going back to 1 John 2, verse number 4, and if that's the case, you're a liar. You're a liar. Now, another way of putting that, in another term, would be you're a hypocrite. You're a hypocrite. In other words, you know, you go around, you're saying, "I know the Lord, I know the Lord," but yet you don't keep his commandments. Then you're really being a hypocrite, okay? You're being a hypocrite in your life. Now, this whole idea of hypocrisy is something that all of us struggle with. And really, my definition, we could kind of debate maybe how to define this. But to me, it's about knowing versus doing. All right. So you know something is right, but you don't do it. I would define that as being a hypocrite. Or you have a certain belief system. You believe something, but then your behavior doesn't reflect that. I would call that being a hypocrite. You talk about something. You talk about living for the Lord or whatever, and yet your walk doesn't match your talk. I would personally call that being a hypocrite. And this is something all of us struggle with. One area that I struggle a lot personally, just to give you a personal example, and I'm going to share this personal example maybe to help raise in your mind maybe what you struggle with the most in hypocrisy, is I struggle a lot with what the Bible says about my body being the temple of God, which it says that my body's the temple of God. And yet many times I struggle with reflecting that when it comes to overeating and underexercising. I've struggled with being a hypocrite in that area. And I was going through looking for some pictures last night, and I came across a picture of me. And this is my daughter Sarah's high school graduation. I don't know how well you can see that picture or not, okay? But this is my beautiful wife, Debbie, and our middle child, Sarah. And this is her high school graduation. And this is me, okay? This is me right here. And I don't know how well you can see that, okay? But this guy is a really sick guy. He weighs about 350 pounds, all right? And this guy has three major diseases in his body. This guy has high blood pressure, this guy has high cholesterol, and this guy has diabetes. And the reason he was almost 350 pounds and had all these diseases is the Bible says, you sow to your flesh, you reap corruption. And I sowed to my flesh, and I reap corruption. I corrupted my body. Now, God's helped me lose now over 100 pounds, and today I'm 58 years old, and by God's grace, I'm disease-free. Okay, I don't have high blood pressure, I don't have high cholesterol, I don't have diabetes, but I'm telling you, what you eat in private, you wear in public, okay? And so I'm still struggling, okay? I'm still struggling. But here's the deal about this guy. This guy would get up here in this pulpit, and man, he would get up here and he'd talk about, your body is a temple of God, okay? Therefore, you shouldn't be smoking these cigarettes. Get rid of that tobacco or whatever. And I'd get up here, don't smoke, don't cuss, don't drink, don't cuss, don't go with girls that do, okay? And I got gravy dripping down my chin the whole time I'm preaching that stuff. Big old globs of gravy just dripping down, you know? But man, I got that tobacco going good, man. I'm going to get that stupid cigarette out because your body's a temple of God. You know what I was? I was a hypocrite. I was a hypocrite. See, this guy believed his body was the temple of God. He believed that. But he didn't behave that way when it came to food and exercise. That's what I mean by being a hypocrite, all right? So now that I've revealed myself to you, okay, and I'm sure you're not judging me. I'm sure you're not judging me, okay? What about you, you hypocrite, okay? Honestly, no, I'm just trying to provoke your thinking a little bit, okay? This is something we struggle with. I struggle with this. Well, what are you struggling with? God wants you to overcome it. I'm not trying to beat you down. I'm trying to build you up. I'm trying to help you realize that the Bible says we all have a sin that easily comes on us. You know, there's certain sin that more easily comes on us. What are you struggling with in your life? You believe a certain thing, but your behavior doesn't reflect it. You say one thing, but you do another. Or as John says here in 1 John chapter 2, verse number 4, you say you know him, you say you know him, but you don't keep his commandments. You don't keep his commandments. And John says you're a liar, or I think it's okay to apply that statement to you're a hypocrite. You're a hypocrite. Well, what can we do about that? Let's go to page 2 of our notes and let's talk about how to overcome hypocrisy. Because God wants you to overcome. God wants you to overcome. He wants you to overcome your hypocrisy. Now, the opposite of hypocrisy is obedience, right? So the ultimate thing about overcoming hypocrisy is obeying. It's obeying. So the one word answer to hypocrisy is the word obey. And obedience, I mean, it's like fundamental to the Christian life, isn't it? I mean, it's like the basic part of the Christian life, that you seek to live a life of obedience. Now, obedience to me is three things. This is my definition of obedience. Number one is doing what you're told to do. It's doing what God tells you to do. God has revealed Himself in His Word, and He's told us His standard for our lives, and we need to do it, because obedience is doing what you're told to do. Number two is doing what you're told to do when you're told to do it. When you're told to do it, when God tells you to do something, guess what? You need to do it, okay? You need to do it. You don't delay it, you don't procrastinate, you don't put it off. You do it, okay? You do it. Some of you, God has spoken to you before about getting baptized. Some of you are here. We just had a baptismal service. Well, guess what? It's time to do it, you know? It's time to do it. The Bible says, you know, when you don't do what God says to do, when He says to do it, it's sin. And then lastly, it's doing it with the right heart attitude. Obedience is doing what you're told to do when you're told to do it. Listen, with the right heart attitude. Sometimes we do what God says to do. Sometimes we do it when God says to do it, but our attitude stinks. You know, we have a bad spirit about us. We have a bad attitude about us. And so, a major part of obedience is not just conforming on the outside to what God wants for us. It's conforming on the inside. You know, and having a humble heart towards the Lord. So to overcome hypocrisy, what we need is to obey. To obey. And this is what John is talking about here. John is confronting us, saying, listen, you say you know God, but you don't do what God says. You're a liar. You're a hypocrite. But then he goes on in this passage, and he talks about how to overcome. How to overcome being a hypocrite. Number one, the emphasis of obedience. John helps us understand how important it is to obey. He puts a lot of emphasis on it. Number one, he tells us that obedience is crucial. It's crucial to the Christian life. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 3, he says, now by this we know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. Obedience is crucial. It says, now by this we know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. So again, John reveals the characteristics of a true Christian. And one of those characteristics is that you if you know the Lord, okay, if you know the Lord, you will keep His commandments. Now, it doesn't mean you won't commit sin. We're going to commit sin, but here's the difference. As a Christian, you don't continue in sin. In other words, yes, you commit sin. We all commit sin. But we don't continue in sin. We don't, we're not called to live that kind of lifestyle. And God has called us to live a godly life, a pure life. And so one of the evidences of salvation, one of the ways we know that we know Him, is by the fact that we keep His commandments. Do you keep God's commandments? Can you evidence today that you are truly a child of God? James talks about the importance of this in James 2. It's one of the most famous passages in the Bible that talks about this whole idea of faith that's evidenced by works. It says, what does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith, but does not have works? I mean, what's the profit? What's the profit, he says, if someone says they have faith, but they don't have works? Can that kind of faith save a person? Just somebody saying they have faith? And then he gives an example. If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you not give them those things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? In other words, it's just saying, you know, there's going to be a concern for that type of person. Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is what? Dead. Faith is not just you saying you have faith. If it does not have works that are tied to that faith, it is dead faith. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. You believe that there's one God. You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. I mean, people say, do you believe in God? Yeah, I believe in God. Well, guess what? Even the demons believe that. I mean, even the demons of hell believe in God. You know? It's not enough just to believe in God. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? So the obedience is crucial to the fact that you're a Christian. You know, I'm not asking, has there been a time when you prayed the sinner's prayer and asked Jesus to save you? Yes, that's where it begins, but that's not where it ends. That's not where it ends. I mean, just like that beautiful testimony Pastor Josh read about that child at camp. What did it talk about? It talked about life change, didn't it? That young lady was different after she asked Jesus to save her. You're going to be different after you ask Christ to save you. And then obedience is not partial. Obedience is not partial. It says in verse 4, he who says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments, plural, commandments, is a liar and the truth is not in him. See, the idea here is that, you know, God has not called us to pick and choose, right? God has not called us to pick and choose. A true Christian doesn't pick and choose what they're going to follow from the Bible. I mean, maybe that I can live out perfectly every commandment. That's certainly the case for all of us. But they're not going to go through the Bible and pick and choose and say, oh, I like that verse there. Man, that's a good verse there. You know, I don't know about that verse there, that tithing verse there. I don't know about that, you know, whatever. I don't know if I'm going to do that or whatever. That's asking a little much or whatever, you know. And we start picking and choosing and choosing and picking and picking and choosing God's Word. That's not what God has called us to do. Because ultimately, selective obedience is disobedience, right? Selective obedience is disobedience. I love Joshua 1:8. I love it because it's the only time the word success is used in the Bible. The word success is only one time in the Bible. And I just love that word success because I want to be a successful person. And God says in Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night that you may observe to do according to, listen to this, all. Start with the word all that is written in it. But then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have what? Good success. So God's Word, I mean, the whole idea there is that you want to do it all. Do you want to do all of what God says? Or do you pick and choose? Like, oh, I like that one. Or that might be something I like to do. Well, I'm not going to do that. No. Listen, that's not right. Obedience is not partial. And then obedience is continual. It's to be continual in verses 5 and 6. Whoever keeps his word. The whole idea there is that you get into a lifestyle of continually following the Lord. Truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. Again, one of the ways we know that we're in him, is we keep his word. We keep his word. So how do you overcome hypocrisy? You gotta understand the emphasis of obedience in the Bible. That obedience is crucial. Obedience is not partial. Obedience is to be continual. And you have to make this the standard for your life. You have to make this the standard for your life. And then he gives the example of obedience. And I'm not gonna go into this in great detail. There's like three major passages of scripture about love in 1 John. We're going to cover 1 John 4, 7 through 21 later on. That's the longest running passage about love in 1 John. So I'm going to delay getting into detail about that until that time. But here he gives the example of obedience. And the example of obedience is the fact that love is commanded. He gives an example and he says, listen, one of the examples of obedience I want to focus on is that you love one another. And in verse 7, he says, Brethren, I write no new commandment to you, but an old commandment. In other words, you know, loving one another is an old commandment. It goes back to the Old Testament. He says, I'm not writing to you about something that's new or whatever. And he's commanding us to love. And then love is demonstrated. And in verse 9 and verse 11, he talks about how that we need to demonstrate love. And then number 3, the expression of obedience. I want to spend some time on this, so that's why I'm kind of rushing along a little bit here. Okay, we're going to go into great detail about love, so we will go into that. Okay, and we'll probably rewind and pick up that passage and do a little bit on that later. Okay, but I do want to make sure we get to this, the expressions of obedience. Now, what's interesting here is that John talks about 3 levels of spiritual growth. 3 levels of spiritual growth. And I think this is important to understand, all right? Now, here's something you got to understand that's very important, okay? The Bible teaches, and we believe at Capital Baptist Church, in what's called progressive sanctification. Progressive sanctification. And what that means is that we're all in the process of growing in Christ. In fact, the very foundation of our church, our purpose statement, is that we are here to lead people in a growing relationship with Jesus. All right? In other words, we believe that our church exists for the very purpose of leading people in a growing relationship with Jesus. And what we have to understand is, in that process, people are going to be at different points of spiritual growth. You understand that? In other words, we're not going to all be at the same point of spiritual growth. And John explains this by giving 3 different, for lack of a better term, I'm going to use the word labels. All right? I'm not sure I like that word, but I'm going to use that word, okay? Or descriptions. How about that? That might be a little bit better word, descriptions. He says on the levels of spiritual growth, number one, there are little children. Okay, some of us are little children. Some of us are young men, and I think it's fair to say that could be called young women too, okay? And then some of us are fathers. Some of us are fathers. So I want to walk through this, and I want to encourage you to look at this and try to answer the question, what level are you on right now in your Christian life? Because the whole idea there is that we would grow. That we would grow. We believe in progressive sanctification. We don't believe when you get saved, you know, you're absolutely sanctified, okay? We believe that you are growing in Christ, maturing in Christ, and we're at different points of development, all right? So number one, he talks about little children. Number 2, young men. Number 3, fathers. Let's read the passage. 1 John 2:12-14. I write to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write to you, fathers, because you are known, you have known him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. All right, so he gives the 3, and then it's interesting, he repeats the 3 and gives a little more. Okay, it's like 2 waves. 2 ways, little children, fathers, young men. And then he comes back and says, I write to you, little children, because you've known the Father. I've written to you, fathers, because you've known him who is from the beginning. And I've written to you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God abides in you and you have overcome the wicked one. All right, so here's the question. Are you a little child? Are you a young man or a young woman? Are you a father? Okay, or maybe you could say mother or whatever. Okay. So little children, these are new Christians, or what we might call immature Christians. Now, mind you, their sins have been forgiven. Now, what that means is they're truly saved. They've asked Jesus Christ to save them. They've asked Jesus Christ to come into their life. And when it comes to obedience, for the most part, they obey because they have to. I mean, they understand, okay, I'm now a Christian, I'm now to live a different lifestyle, I'm reading God's Word, I'm seeing God's Word, and I have to obey God, okay? In other words, it's more like a duty in their life, all right? In 1 Corinthians 3, it talks about these people, they're babes in Christ. They're babes in Christ. Some of you are little children. I mean, you haven't known the Lord very long, and you're struggling along. But listen, God wants to help you to grow, okay? God wants you to help you to grow. And then there are young men, and these are like more mature Christians. They're more mature Christians. In verse 14, he talks about them. He says, "You're strong because the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one." I love verse 14. It says, "You're strong because the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one." Now, young men, mature Christians, they obey God because they need to. In other words, I mean, they need to do it. It's something that's in their heart to obey the Lord, and they live victorious in their Christian life. And then there are fathers. The fathers, these are the very mature Christians. They're like the patriarchs of the church. They're the people that we look up to. They're the people that we respect. And they obey Jesus because they want to. Okay, they want to. They have a deep, abiding relationship with Jesus Christ. And in verse 14, he says to them, "You have known him who is from the beginning." You've known him. You've had a long relationship with him. You've served the Lord a long, long time. And so here's the deal. You need to figure out where you're at. And guess what? You need to go to that next level. You need to keep on growing. Here's the deal. And this is what I feel like God's laid on my heart is one of the big things for this series. You're going to sin. But listen, as a Christian, you should be sinning less all the time. Yes, you're going to sin. We're all going to sin. But the deal is, you should be sinning less all the time. And you know what? That's the normal Christian life. Did you hear me? A person that is not growing and not sinning less all the time. Number one, if they're a Christian, I don't know if they are a Christian, but if they are a Christian, they're an abnormal Christian. The normal Christian life is that you sin, but guess what? You sin less and less. What level are you on? Do you think you're a little child? Do you think you're a young man? Do you think you're a father? Whatever you're on, listen, let's grow to that next level. Father, we love you. We thank you for your word today. And God, I just pray that, Lord, you would help me. God, as I struggle sometimes with hypocrisy, Lord, I believe certain things, but my behavior doesn't always reflect it. God, help me to obey. Help me to obey. God, I say certain things, but then I don't do them, Lord. Help me to obey. God, just help us, Lord. And God, help us to quit the lying. Help us to walk in truth. And help us to obey you. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God.